Coming to you from the studios of Radio Disney AM 600 in Jacksonville, Florida, it's Saturday morning! Time for another edition of Kids Concerns, the show that answers the questions that kids and parents want answered.
Roll the tape.
Let's do it!
That's right, it's Kids Concerns on Jacksonville's AM 600, Radio Disney. Happy Saturday morning, everybody. Now, I know it's Saturday, and that means it's time to get up and get active and get fit today. No sitting around on Saturday morning while you're listening to Radio Disney. And to help you psych up for that, we have on the line with us today a gentleman named Len Saunders, and he's a PE coach, and he is going to have you guys do push-ups for the next 30 minutes. Is that right, Len?
That's right. Get down and give me 20.
There, see, it sends shivers down my spine just hearing you say that. Now, actually, Len is an author of a book that just came out a couple days ago on May 1st. It's called Keeping Kids Fit, A Family Plan for Raising Active, Healthy Children. And we're going to talk about what's inside that book and how moms and dads, too, can kind of inspire their kids to get up and get active. So thanks for being with us today on Kids Concerns, Len.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Len, you're on the phone, so we have to explain to people, where are you right now?
I am located in central Jersey, right by the Jersey Shore.
I could not tell by that accent. You're definitely not a Florida guy, huh?
No. I wish I was there in the winter this year, but yeah.
And it's a little warm out here now. It's a little warm now. But tell us a little bit about what, obviously you're a PE coach, so that must be your inspiration for writing this book. But what have you seen kids throughout the years? How have they changed that may have inspired you to write this book?
Well, through the years, I've noticed how children have become a little more sedentary, which means they're just not doing much activity. Where children and play used to be natural companions, it seems that children and technology are now natural companions. Well, the kids' idea of play 20 years ago was going outside and playing around and, you know, getting a kickball game or playing baseball. Now, play can be many different things, whether it's a computer or video games or just even texting and calling their friends. So play has taken on a different meaning, and children do different things now than they did 20, 30 years ago just because of what's available to them.
Now, in your book, do you focus mainly on kids in elementary school or older kids? What's the best way to get into their heads? What age group?
The book is really good for children of all ages, and it's a guide for parents to teach them lifelong plans of what they can do to keep their kids healthy and fit and active and eat nutritiously. And a lot of stuff in there is stuff that parents already know, but maybe just forgot or it's on the back burner, and they read the book and they say, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or it might be some things that are new to them that they say, oh, wow, no one ever taught me that. I can apply that to my kid. That works with my kid. It might help them a little bit. And it's just a lot of helpful tools and things that they need to know about nutrition and health and sleep and hydrating the body and all those other things that help keep a kid healthy and fit.
You know, I'm a parent, and you know, you don't get a guidebook when you're raising a kid for anything. And this, as I peruse through it, you know, there's a lot of good illustrations. It's almost like a textbook to keep your kids healthy.
Exactly. And we tried to make it so it wouldn't be, you know, like that school book that you had and you were really bored. We tried to consist everything of easy text and very basic and stuff that could be quite obvious once you read it and you pump yourself in the head and you say, wow, I should have known that, and you just apply it. And I've got a lot of good feedback from parents, and the one thing they said to me was that they were thankful it wasn't very scientific and you know, very textbooky. It was this easy language and very basic and things that they would understand. And that's the feedback I've been getting. I've been very happy with that so far.
What kind of food should children and teens not eat to help us lose weight or stay fit?
Well, that's a good question. It's also a loaded question because there are many different diverse answers for that. The first thing I always tell people is to stay away from that liquid candy. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard that term before, but many kids today don't drink enough water. They do drink a lot of the soda or the fruit juices or the flavored milk, things that are high in sugar, high in simple carbohydrates, and high in calories, and they're going to contribute to the waistline and heart disease. So the first thing I always say is that, you know, liquid candy is okay once in a while. Kids are going to be kids, and they want that little treat. But unfortunately, too many kids are having it now with every meal or with every snack, and that's not acceptable because 1 in 5 calories right now that kids consume is from liquid. So we really need to keep that under control. And as you know, water has no calories, and there's many nutritional values to drinking water. So the first thing is try to avoid that liquid candy as much as possible. The second thing is to stay away from foods that are high in saturated fats. A lot of those cookies and cakes and candies and sodas and juices that you do like are full of those fats, and you really need to stay away from them because they're going to, same thing, they contribute to heart disease, they're going to raise your blood pressure, raise cholesterol levels, going to contribute to your waistline. The third thing to look for and stay away from is those trans fats. The human body has a hard time metabolizing these trans fats and digesting them. So what happens is it's going to raise your bad cholesterol and lower your good cholesterol, and that's not good. It's going to contribute to high blood pressure as well. And you have to be careful and read the nutrition panels in the boxes and make sure that they are saying that there's zero trans fat in there. And I would say stay away from those three foods in general.
You mentioned liquid candy. Can you talk on seems to be the new trend, those sports drinks, the energy drinks that are so readily available now. What is your feeling on that?
Well, I mean, some of those are going to be high in sugar. And but you know what, though? If a kid is very, very active and they're playing a team sport and they've been running around for an hour, some of those drinks aren't going to harm them because they're full of electrolytes and other minerals and vitamins. But, you know, they are high in sugar, and you have to watch them and make sure that they're not full of chemicals either, because some might say, well, you know, 50 calories, but might be high in various chemicals that would not be safe for the children to have either. But, you know, for kids who are having those drinks and they're not very active and they're having them with every single meal and every snack, that's what we're really targeting here. Periodically having a drink like that, you know, kid, like I said earlier, kids are going to be kids, and they want sweet stuff, and that's okay. But it's the kids who are doing it constantly, and they're not having any activity level whatsoever.
How many calories should a kid have during the day?
Well, that varies, and that's a tough question to answer because it depends on the kid's activity level, their climate, what their diet consists of, even how much sleep they're getting, how much water they're taking in throughout the day. It can range from, you know, a kid who's very young in age to having maybe 1,000 calories a day to a child who is a teenager and very, very active and exercises very often and has a good diet, but they may have up to 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day. So it really depends on the child themselves. And you also have to take into account the hereditary needs there, because some kids naturally are going to be slim and can handle having calories while others can't. So that's a loaded question, and when people ask me that, I always say to them, you know what, that's a question really to talk to your pediatrician about, because they can give you a better analysis of how many calories and be more specific. Because anybody who gives an answer and says, yeah, every kid who's 10 years old should have about 2,500 calories, well, they're obviously not going to be a target, because they don't know anything about that child. You really just can't give a generic answer to that.
In your book, Keeping Kids Fit, A Family Plan for Raising Active, Healthy Children, you talk about strategies that can help make exercise fun and exciting. And, you know, I know a lot of kids aren't really into organized sports. And it's tough to get them up off the couch. What are a couple of the secrets that you reveal in your book?
Well, first and foremost, I think that children need to be exposed to the right role models. And who are the most important role models in any kid's life? It's going to be their parents. And if a child at a young age sees their parents exercising and eating right at a young age, there's a good chance that they're going to follow their lead. And if a child sees a parent who's being very sedentary, who is sitting on the couch and you know, eating away the chips and drinking soda and not getting off the couch at all, that's what the kids deem as acceptable behavior. So one of the things that I really push on is making sure as a parent that you are being the right role model for your child, and try to be creative in your approach to exercise. For example, if you say to your kid, oh, you know what, go down and do 20 jumping jacks, and when you're done with that, do 20 push-ups, and when you're done with that, do 20 curl-ups, kids aren't going to respond to that. But if you come up with an idea that's fun and exciting, like, for example, most kids today watch between 2 to 4 hours of TV a day, and that's a lot of TV. But if you say to them, you know what, I'm going to try to work with you on this. I'm not going to take away the TV, but let's do something called commercial size. And every time a commercial comes on TV, you have to exercise for the whole length of that commercial. So the kid's watching 4 hours of TV a day, but they commercial size, they might end up doing 30 to 40 minutes of exercise right there. And that's a good chunk of exercise. So if a parent takes a creative approach and they make exercise fun and new and exciting, kids are going to respond a lot better to things of that nature.
A lot of my friends have taken on, like, a water diet. What do you think about that?
And what does that consist of, though?
Like, they drink a lot of water because I guess it helps them lose weight.
And what age are they?
About 14 to 16.
Well, drinking water is a very good thing, but there is such a thing as over-drinking. I believe it's called hyponatremia, where people will drink too much water. And what happens is there's an imbalance in the body of salt to water. And this can cause kids to get dizzy or nauseous or feel faint or other health issues. So you really have to listen to your body and not drink too much water. But there is some research out there that says that if you do drink water, you're going to suppress the appetite a little bit. But the only problem with that, if people are substituting water for foods with nutrients, we need to have, you know, the nutrients from foods in our body. So if you're drinking the water, you're not going to be getting all that. And hopefully your friends are not substituting the water for those foods, because the U.S. Department of Agriculture says that 50% of our diet should be from carbohydrates and 20% from protein and 30% from fat. So if you're just drinking water and substituting that for food, it's not necessarily a good thing.
All right, I'll let them know that, because I'm sure they didn't know that.
She's going to tell him Len Saunders says to do 20 and start eating food.
They'll be like, oh, we're not getting his book then.
Now, you talk about, you'd mentioned good rest a couple times, and I never think about rest as an important part of good health, but that seems to be a good part of good health, right?
Yeah, people underestimate the value of sleep, and people know that when you do sleep, it helps you recharge and rest up for the next day. But there are many benefits of sleep that people don't really think of. First of all, your heart works hard very, very much every day, and it doesn't really get a chance to rest. And kids today, under a lot of stress or anxiety or worry, they have to worry about socialization and homework and team sports. But if they don't get enough sleep, they're not giving their heart a chance to rest. There's jobs that your body does while it's sleeping, and it does it more effectively while you're sleeping. For example, when you sleep, your body helps to repair and rebuild and renew and regenerate cells in the body. And it happens more effectively while we're sleeping. Now, a lot of people don't realize why this is important, but what it does, it's helping to strengthen our immune system. When our cells are stronger, our immune system is going to be stronger. So what happens is that during sleep, when we do get enough, we're helping ourselves to be stronger and prevent sickness and disease. Sleep is also closely related to our appetite, because children who get enough sleep, they're keeping the hormones related to appetite in their body stable. And what that means is when they're eating, their body actually knows when they're full. Or after a meal, they won't snack so quickly. Conversely, a child who doesn't get enough sleep may eat more at a meal or may snack more. Sleep is also related to keeping our cognitive skills and our memory and our concentration intact, because when we sleep, another job our body does more effectively is it helps to rebuild and repair the neurons in the cerebral cortex of the brain. And what that does, it helps our memory and concentration and things of that nature. And I can go on with a list of at least 5 to 10 more important things about sleep. I don't want to, you know, bore you guys with all of them, but there's many benefits to getting a lot of sleep that people don't aware of. And most kids today don't get enough sleep. And the problem is that they're so consumed with other things. For example, a lot of parents nowadays want their children's bedroom to be technology-free, because a lot of times kids go to bed and they shut the door and the parents think they're sleeping, but they might be on the computer or might be playing video games or on their cell phone. When I was a kid, there was really no way to communicate with a friend. If the phone rang, the whole house knew about it. Huh. Now kids can communicate at nighttime and the parents don't even have to know, whether they're texting each other, cell phone, or IMing each other, email. This is so many ways for them to communicate. So it's something that really needs to be looked at, because sleep is related to so many things and keeping our bodies healthy and strong. And unfortunately, many kids are just not getting enough right now.
I've always wondered, is it true that you lose calories when you sleep?
Absolutely, because you have to breathe and your respiration alone will burn calories. But it's not going to be an exorbitant amount of calories that you're going to wake up in the morning and say, oh, I lost 5 pounds. But your food is also being digested, and your body is working while you're sleeping. So you know, anytime your body's working, you're burning calories, because when we eat food, food equates to calories. And so we need food for energy, but we do burn off food for any work our body does. Even blinking the eyes is going to burn you know, something, although it's not going to be a lot. So yes, you will burn calories while you're sleeping, but it's not going to be such an amount that you're going to wake up and say, wow, that was amazing. I weigh 5 pounds less right now.
We're talking with Len Saunders. He is the author of a new book called Keeping Kids Fit, A Family Plan for Raising Active, Healthy Children. Len, where can people pick this book up at?
Well, as of May 1st, you can find it in all the major bookstores, whether it's Barnes & Noble, Borders. You can order it on Amazon. You can order it directly from the publisher, LaChance Publishing. And I do believe that if you order right from their site, they will give a discount from their site. But the book is available all over the place right now, and I'm getting good feedback. A couple of my friends went to bookstores, and they were told it was sold out, and that's a good sign. So I'm happy to hear things like that.
The cover of the book has a picture of you with some kids on it, which makes a lot of sense. You look pretty happy there.
Oh, we had a lot of fun. I remember we did that photo shoot and happened to be in the middle of the last summer on like a 99-degree day, and the air conditioning broke in the studio, and we were all trying to keep ourselves sweat-free for the picture. But I think it looks like we were working out a little bit in some of that.
Yeah, no, they look good. Kids look happy. They don't look like they're angry that it's hot in there.
Well, I kind of bribed them and told them they were each getting $1 million for the shoot.
That's why they're all smiling. The foreword in the book is actually written by Olympic medalist Shannon Miller, who actually lives here in the Jacksonville area. We've been involved in her kids' marathon that she does here. How did you get hooked up with her, and what does she say in that?
Oh, Shannon Miller is a class act. I mean, first of all, I was a big fan of hers when she was in the Olympics. But she's also the most decorated gymnast in U.S. history. She's got a really long resume. But the thing that attracted me to Shannon was the fact that she's very involved in childhood obesity and reducing it. And she really believes in a lot of the same things that I believe in. And her foreword is really beautifully written, where she describes her upbringing and what influenced her in life. And it's a quite moving forward, but you can see that she's speaking directly from her heart, and she firmly believes in the book, and it's all the things that she preaches. So it was a natural fit to have her write the foreword. And you know, I was very fortunate where we had a lot of good role models write quotes for the book, from Michael Phelps, the swimmer, to Cal Ripken Jr., to Vince Carter, a lot of respectable people. So we're quite happy with the support. People read the book and they're like, you know what, this is a good cause, and they know the facts right now. And the truth of the matter is, this could be the first generation of children whose life expectancy could be shorter than their parents, because there's many children now who are overweight. And the American Heart Association is saying that 25 million American children are overweight, and that's one out of every three children, and one out of every seven are obese. So there is a concern here, and we need to really, as parents, get involved and not rely on other people, but to take the initiative ourselves to really motivate our kids to stay fit and healthy, to lead by example, to communicate with them, to educate them about health and fitness and nutrition. And we'll notice a drastic change. If they're worried about their children's health, that will change very quickly if a parent's involved.
What are some of your favorite exercises?
I like all of them. But what I like to try to do in the book, I really try to keep things basic, and I kind of regress in the book, because a lot of times right now, many kids, they get turned off to exercise because it's become so scientific, and that's okay for adults, but children just need basic, easy things. And the truth of the matter is, kids just need an hour of physical activity every day, just said an hour. And it doesn't mean they have to go to the gym and pump iron and get big muscles, or go on a treadmill and run at high intensities for a long period of time. It means just to get outside and play, whether it's a kickball game or basketball, a family walk, a bike ride, you know, taking on a hobby like karate or swimming, just keeping themselves active. But the exercises in the book are very basic and things that most people do remember and know how to do, whether it's push-ups or curl-ups or arm circles or shoulder rolls, you know, back bends. Very easy things that you can do that require no equipment, no money needs to be spent, and it can be done in the convenience of your house, whether it's raining or snowing or whether it's nice outside. But it also gives pointers about how to play sports and how to do hobbies together as a family, and the importance of walking or bike riding. It goes over all the basic things and things that people may already know but forgot about. And they, like I said earlier, they're going to read the book and say, you know what, I remember this now. This is a great idea. I'm going to do this.
Len, what got you involved in physical fitness? Were you a real sports active kid?
Yeah, I was very, very active as a child. I loved sports, and it really was my outlet, and quite honestly, kept me out of trouble. I had a great upbringing, but a lot different than many, and I had experienced many things in life that hopefully many children don't have to experience. And I don't want to get into details and depress everybody here, but it really had an influence on my life, and it made me want to educate others and to make it my life mission to fight childhood obesity, whether it's one kid at a time or millions at a time. And I've been able to help one kid on given days, and other days, like yesterday, I was helping millions of kids. We had Project ACES last year, yesterday, where millions of kids exercised all over the country for 15 to 20 minutes at 10 o'clock in the morning. And it's a program I started about 22 years ago. And on the first Wednesday in May, millions of kids go out in the playgrounds in school at 10 o'clock in the morning and start exercising together. And the motivation is for kids to know that children all over the country and the world are exercising along with them. And these are programs that kids respond to because they're unique, they're fun, and they make exercise entertaining.
You were a former consultant to the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sport. Now, isn't that the council that used to, at least when I was a kid, I remember doing the President's Physical Fitness Achievement Test or something like that, where we had to do so many pull-ups and push-ups and had to run so fast. Is that what that was all about?
Well, yeah, they have different tests now, some are even more health-related, but that's the same government agency. And the people who work there, some of them are appointed by the President of the United States, and they do have tests that they give out to schools that the teachers can administer. So, yes, it's still that same organization that you're familiar with.
So were you the one that said we should have them do pull-ups?
No.
Okay, good. Because I
did many things with them through the years. One, the Project ACES I just mentioned, and I did work with them many years ago, going back maybe 25 years when the Soviet Union was intact, and the United States and the Soviet Union were going through that Cold War. But I did a fitness exchange where my students took a Soviet fitness test, and the Soviet kids took an American fitness test, and it was a very big news item because the two countries always competed. But I just had a lot of success working with them, and they're a very supportive organization, and they would truly believe that fighting childhood obesity should be a main priority, and they're a nice group of folks there.
I saw Rocky III. I know what that's all about. Not quite like that, huh?
Oh, no, but very motivational.
In your book, you talk also about goals and you know, staying fit and a healthy lifestyle. There's a psychology to that as well. How important are goal setting for parents and kids?
Well, I think goal setting is important, and I think goal settings, first of all, need to be realistic. Many parents will, you know, try to motivate their children to do things, but sometimes the goals that they set are unattainable. And, you know what happens. If something's unattainable, people are not going to be interested. So one of the goals should be make something that your child can do. For example, if you're going to, you know, have your child do pull-ups, but you know what, they're not having much luck, well, you try something else that maybe they will have some success with. But also the key is to educate them on why they're doing the pull-ups and how it's helping them, and maybe build on whatever they did. For example, a child may not be able to do one pull-up, but they were able to support their weight and hold themselves on the bar. Although they couldn't pull themselves up, they still were able to support their weight. And maybe you build on the positives and not look at it, ooh, that, you didn't do a pull-up, well, no good here. No, that's the wrong way to build on it. So positive reinforcement is also another issue to look at here when we do have a strategy we build with kids.
The book is called Keeping Kids Fit, A Family Plan for Raising Active, Healthy Children. Now, Len, you still are a PE coach, right?
Yes, I've been teaching at the same school in New Jersey for 25 years.
So do you have to give out autographs during class?
No, you know what, many of the kids, I quite honestly, I'm very modest in where I work, and I don't really tell them many things. Sometimes I get called into the superintendent's office, and they say, did you write a book? And I'm like, yeah, well, why do you tell anybody? Many of them don't know what I'm doing, so I just really do keep a low profile and focus on teaching them and being the best teacher I can be with them.
What do you learn from the kids that you teach?
Well, they teach me a lot because I learn what makes them happy and what makes them sad. And I do try to build a non-pressured environment, and I think kids respond to that much better. For example, if we're taking that test that you talked about with the pull-ups, for some kids it's very embarrassing to hang on the bar and have other kids look at them. So when I do pull-ups, I give the kids the option. If you want the class to turn around and not watch you while you're doing your pull-ups, well, that's what we're going to do.
Right.
And we make it respectable and where kids don't tease or make fun. And every child now is going to do the pull-ups in my class because they don't have to worry about kids looking at them if they don't want to
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to learn from them and find out what works and what doesn't work. And a lot of the motivation from my book was from my students because I see what works for them in my classes, and I want to share that with the parents.
My son is really involved in baseball, and he's just getting out of that age. Now they're starting to actually keep score and compete, which I personally like better than the non-competition aspect because I feel like the kids lose something when that competition isn't there. You talk a little bit about that in your book too, don't you?
Yeah, I think competition, are you asking if competition's good or bad?
Right.
Competition, you know, there's two trains of thought there, and I do cover this in the book because, you know, you could talk to some parents, and the parents are going to say, oh, competition is the best. It brings out the best of the kid, and it's innate, and it helps prepare them for the real world, and it gives them integrity, blah, 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 blah. And normally these are the parents of children who are doing well. And then you have the other end of the spectrum where you have some parents say, oh, competition is the root of all evils. It's demeaning to children. It lowers kids' self-esteem, and they're afraid of failure. And normally, these are the parents of the kids who don't do well. So basically, what I try to instill in the kids I work with is not to be so concerned about winning and losing and about how good you do. But the best competition for me is individualized competition, where you're competing with one person, and that's yourself. Because you know what? You're never going to be the kid who's always going to be the star in baseball or basketball or softball. But you know what? You can always go out and do the best that you can do. So if you're on a basketball team and one day you only score one basket, well, that's a positive. And then next time, you know what? You try to shoot for two baskets and make two baskets and not worry about the kid who had 10 baskets. You can't compare yourself to other kids, and it's important to teach kids that you're not competing with other kids all the time, but just to strive to be your personal best and to strive for whatever you can do, and that's sufficient right there. So that's what I firmly believe in, and people always ask me about competition, and I say, yeah, competition's good when you're competing with yourself, not other people.
You cover so many different aspects of physical fitness, and it seems almost like that's a life lesson as well. What do you think the one or two most important things that you would want people to take out of your book?
Well, I think the number one thing, and I did mention this earlier, but I've always stressed this, I think the first thing is that parents should be involved in the kids' lives when it comes to fitness and nutrition, and lead by example. And to me, that's the one thing for a good foundation. And number two, I think education. I think educating kids about how to live healthy is very, very important. And that comes from all the adults in their life, whether it's the parents, the teachers, the coaches, whoever's involved in their life. And I think that's important.
Len Saunders, the author of Keeping Kids Fit, A Family Plan for Raising Active, Healthy Children. Go check it out. One more time, where can people pick this book up?
Well, they can go to the website. It's very simple. It's keepingkidsfitbook.com. KeepingKidsFitBook.com, and they can get it at all the major bookstores and Amazon, and mostly any site that sells books has it right now.
Len Saunders, thanks for being with us here in Jacksonville on Kids Concerns.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Kids Concerns on Jacksonville's AM 600 Radio Disney. Have a fantastic and active Saturday, everybody. See you.